This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues with the top business stories of the day. I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Tan Chung Han. A quick reminder, after the 8 a.m. bulletin, we're going to have the breakfast grill. And today, our guest is founder and editor of the Malaysian Insight, Jabar Sadiq. Of course, that acronym TMI, you might remember, used to be the Malaysian Insider, and of course there are continuities between the Malaysian Insider and the Malaysian Insight in terms of at least the person of Jabar.
Now, so I also understand that we do have a poll on our official
we
Twitter
do
site.
Indeed, we yes, do indeed
at BFM Radio, and Sharad, go ahead and set it up for us.
Well, you know, we asked about and in fact talked about independent media, who pays for it, how it works, and what is the most desirable models for in an independent media. And we asked the question, would you pay for an independent media? Would you pay for the information you're consuming on a daily basis? So far, 67% say yes and 33% say no. At this point in time, two-thirds, a majority say that they would pay for media.
And then we've got this tweet by Aizuddin. Thanks for the tweet. He says, and I quote, "Independent media? You gotta be joking. Ask Malaysian Insights who their funders are. Will they be transparent?" And I'm sure that echoes what the Edge Media Group had also asked in their very public letter published in the Straits Times, right? So, you know, now besides where the funding comes from, I think also, you know, whether it's enough to sustain this kind of business model. Because if you recall from that letter in the Straits Times and also republished by the Edge there, they talk about how the Edge Media Group lost about 13 million ringgit on the Malaysian Insider since they bought it over. So whether or not the new business model, if it's new, for Malaysian Insight, whether it will lend itself to, you know, making a more sustainable news outlet, that'd be a big question.
Yeah, I think also if we look at, you know, just our struggles as a media organization, we have,
struggling? What are you talking about, buddy?
also tweeted in, she said, "Will tune into podcasts because I have to teach," she says. But it's interesting, podcasts on BFM are free. Mm-hmm. They're not being monetized in any way. And podcasts are a huge revolution in the media. And the struggle, I think, is how do you monetize podcasts? I mean, how would you insert ads, for instance? And, you know, as your campaigns end, how would you change them? I mean, you need to find systems that would allow for an easy, sale of your podcast, as it were.
And I believe that our stream does have ads, and our podcasts in the past as well. Don't quote me on that. I got to check with my sales team here in a bit. But yeah, no. Essentially, is there a large enough customer base here in Malaysia who both have the willingness and ability to pay for that independent news, you know? And that's what the poll is all about, right? Because, you know, one would assume, looking at the Malaysian context, you also have Malaysia Kini who have a paywall, right? So assuming that both Malaysia Kini and Malaysian Insight are targeting the same target demographic, right, are these guys willing to then pay for both Kini and Insight?
Yeah, and also maybe a Free Malaysia Today. I mean, all these compete in the same space, political news, right, in the English language, with a particular kind of worldview. And so, you know, I mean, at least, posturing as independent and critical. And I think that is a very interesting question. I hope all these come out. So remember, if you have questions for Jabar, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can, in fact, text us or WhatsApp us at 016-201-9000. That's 016-201-9000, and we will get to your questions. Thank you again, Aizuddin Danian. We will take your question to and pose it to Jabar. Of course, the person who's going to go head to head with Jabar is Julian Ng. Now, coming back to the question of the business news, and one of the big stories, of course, is the foreign sell down of Malaysian bonds. Apparently, it's been fastest in March.
That's right. So the figure released by Bank Negara recently is at 178.2 billion ringgit. That is the amount of Malaysian bonds held by foreign investors. Now, what does that mean? That 178.2 billion, That is its lowest level since January 2012, if I'm interpreting Bank Negara's Excel sheet here accurately. So, and also the amount that was sold off last month, 26.2 billion. That was the most in a single month since Bank Negara started keeping track of the, or started releasing this data back in 2011.
How extraordinary is that? I mean, do we have to understand these numbers fully, do we have to put it in comparative perspective? Do we have to compare the Malaysian bond market to the bond markets in other emerging countries?
Yeah, you know, and so according to this article by The Edge, you know, essentially what you're seeing just emerging markets as a whole, you are seeing inflows into the domestic bonds or the respective domestic bonds space, you know. But when you look at Malaysia, when you see these kind of outflows, you know, then it makes you sit up and notice, why are we being singled out? Now, you compare that with, say, comments from PIMCO. Now, to be fair, PIMCO, they largely favor Indonesian and Indian bonds. But yet, they're also saying that, you know what, we're kind of losing interest in, you know, these kind of bonds right now. We're going to ease off on the risk and perhaps kind of wait and see, you know, how things play out. Now, keeping in mind, PIMCO is the world's largest bond fund, right? So when you have those kind of comments and you see the kind of outflows or what's happening in the emerging markets bond space, especially here in Malaysia, you know, it can be a cause of concern. Now, to kind of balance it out, if we look in the equity space, for example, you're seeing the opposite, though. For Malaysian equities, foreign investors are actually pumping money in. There's a net selling of over, I believe, 6 billion ringgit worth of Malaysian equities being net bought by foreign investors, right? So, you know, it depends on how you want to spin this. But according to Kenanga Research, they say that the momentum from this sell-off is likely to be rather short-term. We'll kind of see how it goes. And it's mainly because of the strength of the local institutional funds, like the EPF. They are able to then absorb and really step in to support the domestic bond market.
Also, Tenaga Nasional is in the news. It has signed a 21-year power purchase agreement, or PPA, with Edra Energy Senremba to offtake electricity from a gas-fired combined cycle electricity generating facility that the latter will construct in Alor Gajah, Melaka. TMB said that Edra Energy will own, operate and maintain the facility, which will have three generating blocks with a combined nominal capacity of over 2,200 megawatts.
All right, so if you recall, Edra Energy used to be under 1MDB. Now it's no longer. So TMB has signed that 21-year power purchase agreement. So essentially, they're going to, whatever that power plant in Melaka, once it's constructed and once they start producing it, Tenaga will then buy all of it. Now, that perhaps is indicative of the kind of demand for electricity that we Malaysians have. You can blame the aircons, I guess.
All factories.
All factories. So our energy consumption is, you know, really, really high. If you also look at the Industrial Production Index that was released yesterday. Now, in layman terms, the Industrial Production Index measures the output from Malaysia's mines, Malaysia's factories, and also our power plants. It registered, once again, on-year growth. Granted, a bit lower, only about 1.7%, and the overall IPI, Industrial Production Index, came in below expectations, only growing about, or not only, but grew at about 4.7%, I believe, you know. But nevertheless, that the output of electricity in Malaysia has continued to rise. And given the kind of demographic trends that we're seeing in Malaysia with our growing population, or the expected growth of our population, you know, that would you would think it would translate into more economic activity, which would then translate into more consumption of power. So yeah, it looks like Edra Energy, you know, is going to be a big part of, you know, meeting those needs.
Also, in a related story, the Energy Commission said a bidder prepared to supply electricity at a lower cost was the primary consideration in its award of a solar power project.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering...
So this was solar, yeah.
That's solar. So solar, I mean, I think for us who are concerned about where the planet is going in terms of fossil fuels, you know, these alternative energy sources, do we have a policy that really addresses this? And what is the main contention here, Han?
Well, I mean, essentially it's to try to balance out the energy mix, you know? And also, if you recall, you know, on the Breakfast Grill recently, we also had, I think Chuang, I had a grill on the potential for nuclear energy being included into the energy mix here in Malaysia. So I think the overall theme here is that Malaysia's energy energy needs are growing, and we're going to try to diversify that energy mix. You know, and it looks like a solar, according to this report, may play a part in it as well.
Yeah, also
or a bigger part.
Part of the contention also is the question in which these awards were given. So, in November last year, 2016, the Energy Commission awarded the mandate to build a 150 megawatt solar power plant. One of the biggest awarded to date, on a directly negotiated basis to a consortium of three companies, Intramas Technology, Maltech Pro, and Cam Lights and Rainbow. We always have this problem without open tenders. There's always the question of why did they do it on a directly negotiated basis. I think that's one of the concerns.
I mean, yeah, that's one of the concerns, but also you got to look at it economically, right? You know, whether these kind of costs that come with, you know, starting up these kind of solar power plants, you know, are they, you know, more conducive, you know, as opposed to our traditional coal and gas fired power plants, right? We have seen how coal has come off, and so you've got it's not just Malaysia. You know, many power plants around the world are still quite reliant, or many economies around the world are still quite reliant on coal-generated electricity. So whether or not the economics makes sense for not just solar, but also even nuclear, right? I think those are some of the concerns as well.
Okay. Remember, after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we'll have our flagship show, The Breakfast Grill, and on it... Julian Ng will be speaking to Jahab Sadiq. He is the founder and editor of the Malaysian Insight, kind of the Malaysian Insider, as it were, resurrected, rising like a phoenix from the dust. That's after the 8 hours. Look forward to that.
So dramatic.
Remember,
well done,
there's
buddy.
A poll going on, and also you can send in your questions 016-201-9000 on WhatsApp or text, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll take all those. Coming up next, The Bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.